escándalo, creo. No.
Okay. Well, we're continuing in Eretz Chayfetz. Save one of those. I need one of those pages also. I don't know. In Eretz Chayfetz, in the old edition, it's on page Nun Dalet. The little ones, I don't know, but it's Perek Vav Seif Hey. Perek Vav Seif Hey in Eretz Chayfetz. Page Ayin Vav. For those who are learning, we're learning the Shiurim Hakitzav Rananu and Talalei Chaim, the sugya of the Pekida and the Zechira of Mashiach ben Yosef, Mashiach ben David, and the Torah of the Ramchal and Maimar Hagula, all that we're learning here in these Torahs from Rav Kook and Rav Kook's entire Mahalach and the Tchiyah and the return to Eretz Yisrael and his understanding of Geula is based entirely upon what we're learning in the Ramchal. The Pekida and the Zechira, those two stages, those two Shlavim of Geula, the first being the renewal of physical life and a return to physical, national, economical, political health, breaking away from Golas, that first Shlav, which is the Koach of Mashiach ben Yosef. Just as Yosef was in Mitzrayim, and he provided for his family, and he gave life to the world, in a very, very simple, and physical way. Hu HaMashbir. He was the one that gave life. So the return to life, to healthy life, is the first stage of the of redemption. It's called the Pekida. Again, this is what we've been talking about, Barichas, in the Yeshua Shiurim, and in the Hakitzaranu Shiurim. And then finally will be the Hizgalus of Mashiach ben David, which is called the Zechira, the remembrance, the ultimate remembrance, when we're going to return entirely to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and there'll be an integration of our physical lives and our spiritual lives. And in between, there's a lot of upheaval. That's what we're learning about in Hakitzav Rananu and here, that in between. And what's going on, what was happening at the time of Rav Kook, and what's still going on now, is that turbulence of the Ma'avar, of moving from the Pekida to the Zechira. So all that we're learning is about that. So Rav Kook writes, this is in the Iris Atchia, Sif Lamed Aleph, Yispateach HaYishuv Be'eretz Yisrael. Yispateach HaYishuv Be'eretz Yisrael. That the settlement of Eretz Yisrael will develop. It will develop. Yispateach HaYishuv Be'eretz Yisrael, and Yibona HaBinyan HaLeumi. And the national building will be built. He's not talking about a particular building, meaning that the structure of the Jewish people will be reestablished. Yibana HaBinyan HaLeumi, to be a nation, to be a people in our land. Mitaycha Yafuach Ruach Gadol. And to that yeshuv, and to that binyan, to that settlement, and to that building, there will be infused a tremendous ruach, a tremendous, tremendous spirit, a tremendous ruach. But this is the order. There's the yishuv, there's the binyan, and the ruach has not seen so clearly in the early stages of the pekida. The ruach is not obvious. The yishuv, the binyan, the physical structure, infrastructure, the development of the land, our development as a people in our land. So that's the guf. It's like when the baby's born. And mitoicha yafuach ruach gadol. But we don't see yet. In the beginning, we don't see the ruach gadol. We see the physical changes and the social, political, economic changes. When I say physical, it means all that stuff. We see those changes. We see unbelievable improvement. But mitoicha yafuach ruach gadol. Nishmas ha'uma tis'ayra l'schia. The soul of the nation will be awakened to life. Me'oimek tiva takir es kol mahusa. From the depths of her nature, she will recognize her essence. Not that it's something which is artificial, that somebody has to tell you, and you listen to the shir, and you hear that you're really, really, really good, and then you walk out from the shir, and you're just bad. It means that you understand that that's your nature. No one has to tell you that you're hungry for food, but people are constantly telling you that you're hungry for Hashem. It's not a normal thing to tell somebody that they're hungry, right? It's not normal. For someone to be told that they're hungry, you're hungry again. It's your teva. I don't have to tell you you're hungry. No one has to tell you you're hungry. But all of our learning, everything is just to say, to remind ourselves, don't forget, you know, that we're hungry, right? It's a strange thing. Because hunger is something which is natural. You haven't eaten, so you're hungry. So why does somebody have to come and tell you? I want to tell you something. You should know that you're hungry. The whole thing is strange. It's artificial. Be'emes, it's the Yiddishkeit is the natural hunger of a Jew. When somebody is in an unhealthy place, they're hungry, but they don't identify their natural hunger, and instead they think they're hungry for the things that are not good for them. They're hungry for stuff that's not good. You have people that are unhealthy and they're hungry to eat dirt, to eat things that are bad, that are not healthy, that are dangerous, Pringles, whatever. Right? So the fact that somebody is hungry, but the hunger for Yiddishkeit is the most natural thing for a Jew, but he doesn't know that that's what he's hungry for. But Rav Kook is saying that me omek tiva, the time will come of the zechira, that me omek tiva, that from the depth of her nature, takir kol as kol mahuzo, she will recognize her entire essence through her nature, not that to be shiur. That's what it means when Mashiach comes. It's not going to be necessary for a person to be teaching another person. Everyone's going to know me. From the littlest to the biggest, everybody's going to know Hashem. The way that we know that we're hungry, the way that we know that these are our fingers, these are our toes, the way that we know ourselves, it's not going to be necessary for somebody to say, I know that what you don't know. There's not going to be such things. I know what you don't know. In Madragas, maybe, we're not going into that. But Elokus and the presence of Hashem, that everything is Hakadosh Baruch Hu, that's not lo yilum do ishes ve'ayu ki kulam yedu osi. It's the most natural thing. May oitzam koicha techainin esidrei chayeha atzmiyim. From her very strength, from her. Not having to get from outside help. Me'oitzam koicha. From within herself, her meaning the Jewish people, the nation. Me'oitzam koicha. Techoinen esidrei chayeha atzmim. She will establish the orders of her, the natural, healthy orders of her life. Chayeha atzmim. Not imitations, but chayeha atzmim. Her very life. Haruach hamiyuchad shel ha'uma, the unique ruach of the nation, yichonein emunas Hashem elokei Yisrael ba'olam, will establish belief in Hashem, faith in Hashem elokei Yisrael, the God of Yisrael, ba'olam, in the entire world. In the entire world. Somebody was just saying to me, it's not so easy when you have a job and you don't always and you don't believe 100% in what you're selling, right? It's a hard thing to be in such a job. If you sell, you're trying to sell something and you don't really think it's a good product, it's hard to sell. And the people don't believe you. They could tell that you don't really believe in it. If you're working for a certain company and the company is selling something, whatever, a service or some goods, and you don't really believe this is the right thing for the olam that's getting it, that's buying it, it's hard to sell that. And the people feel that, and then you're not a good salesman. And they feel that it's not a, that you don't believe in the product. The first thing that they do, probably, I was never in that kind of work, but the first thing that they do when you come to such work is they try to convince you that the product is not a good product, right? I would imagine that's what they do. Because if you're selling a product that you don't believe in, so it's not going to go. The Olam picks up on that very, very quickly, that you don't believe in the product yourselves. Whenever anybody comes like on these radio shows, you know, they always and the guy that's talking on the talk radio, so they would always part of their job is they get paid to also say over some advertisements. So they always say, "Trust me." Some of you hear that Dibur means, but trust me, this is the only we use this in our house. This is what we've been using for the trust me. So you got free samples all the time. And they're paying you to say these things. And I don't trust you at all. But when you really bemis believe in something, then you could sell it. Now, the thing that one believes in most is etzem tivai, the very air that he breathes, the essence of who he is. There's nothing that's more natural to you, and there's nothing that you feel that you understand better and that you relate to more. So when Rav Kook is saying that, at that time, like the Nevi'im all talk about that the Jewish people are going to teach Emunah to the whole world. So all of us are thinking, I'm trying to get my kids to believe in God, you know? I'm trying to get myself to believe in Kadosh Baruch. So now you're talking, we're going to have to go like teach the world about Hashem? I should myself be a mom and I should teach my children to believe in Hashem Baruch. Because when it's a second language, when you don't feel that it's you, it's very, very hard to sell such a thing. It's very hard to sell such a thing. You know, it's hard to say no to Lubavitcher Chevron when they come around to ask you to do mitzvahs, because their mamash believe in it. I'm always so sure that they believe in it, they believe the Rebbe. You know, it's not always 100% clear. But let's be Danikav Schus, and they believe in it. And the Tzaddik that sent them. When you believe in something, you become a great salesman. The Chabatskas all over the world, like they sell Yiddishkeit and people buy it. Because if you believe in your product, you believe in it 1,000%, you're a good salesman. If you don't believe in it 1,000%, it doesn't go. So how are we going to bring Emunah to the whole world? We can. Even though when the Nevi'im say this stuff, we go, come on, what are you talking about? Yeshaya, what are you talking about? Yecheskel. I'm going to teach the world to believe in the Baruch Hu. The world is crazy. I'm going to teach the world to believe in the Baruch Hu. The Torah says, yeah. When you believe in that product, you'll be able to sell it. And when you yourself feel that this is who you are, you'll be able to share what's most important to you, or not just most important, you'll be able to share yourself with others. But if you see Yiddishkeit as something which is outside of you, it's very hard to share that with. It's very hard. That's why we're having a lot of problems with chinuch. All the talks about chinuch this and chinuch that. So much with chinuch and this. That. You have to yourself believe in it. You want to give it over to your children. So I once told you a word from the old school Lenin Rebbe Susi Gelin. This Lenin Rebbe that was just Nifter, his father, Susi Gelin. I remember his father. They're both such big tzaddikim, the two of them, like they went through everything together. So the old Sklan Rebbe said in the Sefer called Noam Eliezer, and there he says, that Lamat Tisapeba, we once learned this by Shalosh Sudas around 10 years ago. He says, Lamat Tisapeba, Oznei Bincha, Ben Minchas, and Sheres Alatim Mitzrayim. Now we're coming to Pesach, so it says, Lamat Tisapeba, Oznei Bincha. You should tell this story, Lamat Tisapeba, Oznei Bincha, or Ben Bincha. Tell your children, tell your grandchildren, right? It says, Sheres Alatim Mitzrayim, that which I did to Mitzrayim. The miracles that I made there, and you should know that I am Hashem. So the old Sklenovi said, it sounds like at the beginning of the pasuk that he's teaching Mitzrayim a lesson, but at the end of the pasuk says, "V'yadatam k'ni Hashem." So there, you should know that I am Hashem. So the Rebbe explained like this: he says, "Lamat tisapa wasn't bincha ben bincha." If you want to tell this story to your children and your grandchildren, and you want them to really get it and to believe in it, there's only one way to do that. What's the way? V'yadatam k'ni Hashem. If you know that I am Hashem, you'll be able to convince your children. But if you don't know it, your kids are not going to get it. So everybody is hoping that maybe his Rebbe gets it. Maybe his Rebbe really knows God, so maybe my kid will get it from the Rebbe. But the pasuk says, "Lamat tisapeh b'oznei bincha ben bincha asher salatim samtibam." You want to tell the story of Pesach? You want to tell the story of Tisman, meaning the story of Hashem. You want to tell the story that your children should believe in the Baruch Hashem, that they should be God fearing Jews. There's only one way. If you know that ani Hashem, if you the parents, the grandparents, if yadatam k'ani Hashem, then the children will believe you. If you believe in the product, you could sell it to your kids. If you don't believe in the product, you might look like the most religious person in the world, and you could be that you close your eyes when you sing Zmiris and you sit back in the chair and the whole business, you know, with Lakshman Kolga potato coming out from your ears, and you're doing everything like it says in the books, and you follow all the rules, and the kids walk away from that house feeling like, nah, that just wasn't it. And you could have another Jew that's so simple, so simple, mamish, the simplest person. He doesn't know all this stuff and doesn't know this, that. He's trying to do the right thing, but he, and the children feel, yeah, my father, my mother, they get it. They don't know all this. They don't know everything because they didn't learn so much, but the Vyadatim is a Kanesh. They know that there's a Rebbeinu. And the children pick up from that. They pick up from the parents. That's the Pnimius of Chinuch. It's not fancy. But everybody's looking for other ways that should be. There's always a tine against the teacher, there's a tine against the Rebbe, there's a tine against the curriculum. The book is not good, this is not good, that's not good. If the Rebbe would do something else, and when the kid comes to the house, what does he get from you? The children have to get in the house. V'yadatam k'ani Hashem. V'yadatam, you have to know k'ani Hashem. Then you could tell the story. If you don't know it, then the story doesn't resonate. You could tell the story, it doesn't resonate. So coming to Leil HaSeder, and everybody's trying to look up all different kinds of all kinds of vertlach and buying like what's the latest Haggadah, and trying to find some new vertlach to say and to you know impress the guests and to impress the children. It's V'yadatam k'ani Hashem. You remember the story that I told you years ago, the Bnei Sascha. Some Isa from the Bnei Sascha that, you know, the Bnei Sascha used to go to see the simple star. It was a whole thing with him, and. It happened. There was a yid in Dinov there by the Bnei Sascha. There was a yid that he was the shikha. He was the town shikha. He was the drunk. Which you have in every town. There's a rav. There's a dayan. There's a shikha. You understand? So this guy was the shikha. He was the drunk. Now the busiest day for shikharim is erev Pesach before the zman, right? Because there's a mitzvah of beer chametz. You understand? And there's a lot of, and there's schnapps going around. People are easy to give away schnapps and to pour schnapps. So the biggest time for the shikir is Erev Pesach, before this man. So this shikir in Dinov, so he was drinking a lot of Pesach. Now listen, the first morning of Pesach, we'll get back to him in a second, the first morning of Pesach, by Shachris, meaning after the Seder, the Rebbe, the Bnei Sasa, comes into Shul, and the Chassidim were talking about how they were zeichet to see the Rebbe Seder, the end, and to be there. And the Rebbe said to them, my Seder is nothing compared to Moshe the Shikha, to Moshe the drunk. And everybody went over to Moshe, and the Rebbe, who walked with some people over, was before davening, walked over, and the Rebbe says, the Chassidim wanted to know what was, Moshe was like half dead sitting over there. And the Chassidim said, no, Moshe, what was your Seder? And the Vanessa says, Moshe, tell the Chassidim what your Seder was like. So Moshe said, Rebbe, isn't it bad enough that the Baruch Shalom knows, and my family knows, and you know? Now all of Dinav has to know about my Seder. Vanessa says, don't be afraid. I want you to tell them what happened by the Seder. So Moshe says like this. He said that, Rabbi, I drink a lot there at Pesach because it's a mitzvah to be a chametz, and I had a lot of drinking, and I was so unbelievably sick, and my wife prepared the whole seder and everything was prepared. I couldn't come to the table. I couldn't come to the seder. I was so sick. And my wife came to me crying. She says, how could you do this? The children, every child in Dinav has a father, a Seder, and we are lying here. What's the matter with you? Come to the Seder. And she was crying, and I said, I can't move. I can't come. So finally, she tried to start to make something with the kids, a Seder. And again, and she comes, please try to come to the table. She says, I told her, I can't come. I can't lift my head up. Anyway, this was going on, so she tried to make for them a Seder, and he said it was like almost the morning was so late, and she comes with the children into the room. She thought maybe, you know, at least to say a good yont of something. She comes with the children, and she already effed everything, and he's crying. He cries, he says to the children, Kindlach, I'm asking you for mechila. And I promise you, this is what he said, I'll never drink in my life another drop. I'm finished with that. I'll never drink another drop. This will never happen again. So I don't have the kaiches to talk, but I just want to tell you that in the beginning, the Baruch Shalom created the world. And the world got messed up because Adam and Chava ate from the tree. And then there was a lot of tzaras. All kinds of things happened until finally there was an Avraham Avinu. And he had a Yitzchak Avinu. And the others, they had children. They were very, very chashuv people. They were good people. And they started to bring the Baruch Shalom back into the world. But then we had to go to Mitzrayim to become great people. Hashem took us into Mitzrayim. And it was very hard over there. But Hashem loves us, and He took us out. And He gave us the Torah. And I want to tell you, children, that whatever you're going through in life, Hashem will take you out. And he said, and Rabbi, then I don't remember anything after that. I fell asleep. So the Bnei Sascha said to the Chassidim, you should know that since Yetzias Mitzrayim, no one ever gave it over as clearly and as beautifully as Moshe Tishik. As he said. No one ever was Makayim the Mitzvah like Moshe Tishik, the way that he said over to his children. As he said. So Moshe didn't say over it. It says in the new Haggadah, from the new Rav Schwab Haggadah, that this, and it says in the new Arizal Haggadah, and the new this, new that. He could barely talk. But what he said to the kids went into their kishkes. So when you believe in something, because that's who Moshe was. He was a shikr. It was a problem that he had, drinking. But the essence of who he was Yetzias Mitzrayim. He was Pesach. You know, he was filled with chametz, with his drinking, but he was a Pesach tikkayid. He was filled with Pesach. So he was able to sell the product. It wasn't fancy. People are very, very good salesmen. They don't have to get into all kinds of fancy things. When you have a sale, now they don't have so much salesmen coming around like that. Now it's big business, I don't know. But it used to be that people would come to that. When I was a kid, they would come to the house. To my mother, they would come to sell, the lady would come to sell makeup, I remember. From, I don't remember, one of the famous companies, they would come knocking on the door, ringing, and they would come with a makeup kit, and they would sell.
Avon
calling. I don't remember.
Avon calling.
Yeah. I don't remember. But I remember my mother being all excited and sitting down with the lady and stuff. They used to have sales mamish door to door. Like that's how it used to be. They used to come with a vacuum cleaner. I remember, it came with a vacuum cleaner to the house to sell vacuum. A guy would walk around with vacuum cleaners to sell vacuum. It used to be like that. And but the second that one of these guys or one of these ladies comes into your house and sits down like with a book and starts to read from the manual, you're not buying. But if someone comes and they start to talk tivi, you know, natural tivi, so then you already start to listen. And maybe it's good. And someone's a good salesman, it means it's tivi. It's natural. It's tivi. Right? A girl goes on a date with a boy, and the boy is reading from a book, the rules of dating. And he says, and she's sitting at the table having supper, and she asks him something. He goes, hold on a second. Like now they have these games, and they go on dates. Like questions to ask each other. You know, who knows what I'm talking about? You know what I'm talking about? There's a name for that.
Perfect matches.
Perfect matches? Yeah. So it's already not perfect. Perfect matches. So you have such a thing to have. You have a book to go, and you're going on a date. Your eyes shine like the stars that come out at night. She goes, what? You don't like that one. Hold on a second. Do you get along with your parents? It's a low TV, you understand? It's a problem. It's a problem. Can you imagine like Mickey Mantle getting up to bat with a book? And he's reading a book about how to hold the bat. Like, how do you hold the bat? A guy gets to the foul line, a basketball player, and he's sitting there with a little manual, and he says, bend your knees, look at the basket. It's lo halach. So lachas kam v'kam when it comes to emuna. Rav Kook is saying that these words from Rav Kook, when there's chaim atzmiyim, when we're able to recognize kol mahusa, our very essence, then yichaynin emunas Hashem l'keisa ba'olam. We will establish the belief in Hashem in the whole world. Yichaynin emunas Hashem elokei Yisrael, but the whole world will set on fire with the belief in Hashem. Because then we're going to mamish believe in the product, and we're going to know it from ourselves. It'll be natural, not like selling something else. It'll be natural. It'll be who we are, not something else. Ain't sarach loymer bekir b'pnima, and to sell to the whole world. Ain't sarach loymer. Obviously, bekir b'pnima, within herself, she'll get it. So therefore, Rav Kook says, so we don't see this now. Like everything looks so not like this. Everything looks so not like this. So he's giving some chizik and he says, Ein lit star lis yaish klal. Don't be upset and don't give up. Ein lit star lis yaish klal. From the currents of ruach, national ruach, natural, that's holech v'so'ein, means like a storm, it's turbulent. In other words, that there are a lot of crazy things that are going on, bad stuff. That we see the revival of the nation, and Rav Kook says, but we see all kinds of crazy stuff, like storms. There's zrame haruach halumi hativi haholech v'so'ein, that it's... We see like crazy nationalism, but we don't see with Hashem. We see like, you know, the Zionism, the nationalism, all this like turbulence. There's a lot of stuff and crazy stuff and excitement, but it doesn't seem to have the Kedusha. So it doesn't seem to be coming from Kedusha. He says, Gama kilkulim shuhu makalkil b'mahalochai, even the kilkulim, even the damage that we're doing, that the nation is doing along its path, along its way, shumakalka b'mahalochai, soy from love l'chlal binyan v'tikun. In the end, it's going to come to binyan v'tikun. It's going to come. In the end, it's going to become to binyan v'tikun. If it's the same thing, all that we're talking is the same thing with raising a child. You have certain parents. Let's say you. There are certain parents, you know, you have matzif, and the kid, this child, every time that you say to the child yes, the child says no. And when you say no, the child says yes. There are children that are like that. Every time it's even a half echo. Amish like that. And you say to the kid, it's time to go to bed. No. It's time to get up. No. It's time to have a bath. No. It's time to do your homework now. It's time to stop saying no, no. Everything is like that. And the kid is all upset and so on. So if you're a parent that is as immature as the kid, so you go totally out of your kelim. I mean, it's hard to be patient. I'm not talking about the midah of patience. It's hard. But I'm talking about in seichel. What's the matter with my kid? I don't understand. When she was a baby, when I put the bottle into her mouth, she drank the bottle. She did everything, and now all of it. And then when she was 5, 6 years old, so cute, and now like everything is no. What happened to my wonderful little girl, my wonderful little boy? Everything is no. So if you're an immature parent, your mom must go crazy. You go out of your kelim, and you think that you already want to go speak to somebody. My kid is off the derech. How old is your kid? 6. What kind of derech? My kid's off the derech. How do you know your kid's off the derech? It's the beginning of being off the derech. Everything I say, the kid says no. I say you have to go, you have to say Shema, no. You have to wash Neglevas, no. So my kid's off the derech. So you're ready, you want to send your kid to some special gan for children that are off the derech. You know? So you have people, they think like this. I have conversations like this all the time with parents. The truth, of course, is that these little ones, they start to say no a lot. And the reason for that is because they're working very, very hard to come to the teva of who they are. And therefore, they're beginning to feel instinctively, I'm not you. Right? And therefore, but they're not developed. Therefore, no matter what you tell them, they just say no, even though they regret it afterwards. They say no because I don't want to be you, I want to be me. So if you understand the pneumius of a little child, the fact that this kid is screaming no, it's not a bad sign. It's not a sign that the kid is not normal, the kid is unhealthy, the kid's going off the derech. It's a sign that the kid is waiting for his Yom Ha'atzmaut, you understand? He wants to be Atzma'i. He wants to be himself. Everything you tell me, listen, you put this in my mouth, you take me here, you put me into the bathroom. Enough already with this. I don't want this anymore. So you say to the kid, but you're dirty, you need to have a bath. I'm just going to say, I don't need a bath, I'm not dirty. So I could prove to you scientifically that you're dirty. Leave me alone. No matter what you tell the kid, it's v'nahafaychu. And you know that you understand that the kid needs this, needs the bath. And you're the father, you're the mother, so you're a Baal Seichel, and you're saying, I'm telling you, I know better that you need to have a bath. And the kid says, I don't need a bath. Whatever you say, the kid says, no. The reason is because the kid doesn't want to be you. The kid wants to be himself. But they're just not developed enough to know how to sort out things, so they just say no to everything. But that's all the kid wants. So for sure the kid is doing all kinds of silly things. Children do silly things. Children do silly things. What happens when you see people that they dress funny? You never saw Jews that dress funny? Well, whatever, however you define funny. But you have somebody that wears like, you know, a polka dot bow tie to shul or something. I'm not making fun of anybody. Whatever, you have people that they have to wear little colors, that the kerchief comes out from their pocket that matches their glasses and all these different inyanim. They're modern inyanim. What do you have to, you're ready, you know, you could be 30, 40, 50 years old. What are you marrying? What are you wearing? Matching neckties with matching things. I mean, shtiyot a little bit. So what are you doing with all that stuff? Like, what are you going with all that gear? You know? I'm not even talking about the women, because the women's a whole sugya of hair and clothing and stuff. Okay. But it, just even the guys, before we even talk about the girls, you understand, I don't understand. But the guys, with their inyanim, with their like, this is my trademark thing. What's your trademark thing? Like an angry look. That's your trademark look. And what's your trademark? You know, I wear, even though it's 70 degrees out, I wear a scarf around. Like. The British like that. You ever see that? You never just saw the British always wear. I got my scarf. It's this trademark thing. So you look at somebody, he's 60, 70 years old, he's still wearing all kinds of weird things. So, again, I'm not making fun because that. Why? Why am I not making fun? Of course it's silly. It's an Irish guide. And that could be why I'm wearing this stuff too. I don't know. but the point is, like in the old song, I gotta be me. I gotta be me. And now kids, since they're intellectually underdeveloped, so they'll do it in very bizarre ways. They'll do all kinds of crazy things to scare their parents and do things that can negate everything their parents want. Connect everything. Like the parents, it's very nice you got your license, but I want you to make sure you only drill here and you only get. And when the parents are saying that, every single thing the parents are saying to the kids, I'm going to drive on the other side of the highway. You know, make sure to drive on the right side of the highway. No, I'm going to drive on the other side of the highway. Even though it's still. But the kid feels, I can't be my mother or my father. I don't want to be my mother or father. So adults do this all the time also. They have to have this thing to be like different, to be themselves. Everybody has to know that you wear a certain, you have an adult, you have like a gal come to the shul wearing a cowboy hat. You know what I'm saying? Like these kind of things. Like, what are you wearing a cowboy hat? This is the West or something? You're in a movie, there are Indians here. What are you wearing a cowboy hat? Why is this guy wearing a cowboy hat? And if you ask him that, he gets very upset. You have to respect his Indian of cowboys. Whatever. You have to respect that Indian of cowboys. What is that? Where does that come from? So you don't have to respect what's the difference with that people wear all this now. But what you have to respect is that this person, even now that he's 50, 60 years old, and he's still going around with his paraphernalia, he's trying to say, I don't want to be, I have to be something different. And that's the beginnings of something of Atzmaut, except it's not taken necessarily into Kedusha. But it's the beginning. The whole idea of Minhagim. You know, you're Skver Chosid, you have Skver Minhagim. You're Lubavitcher Chosid, you have Lubavitcher Minhagim. And the Minhagim are more important than Gufei Torah, you understand? If you ate the Lokshan Kogel, I was talking about Kogel before, if you ate the Lokshan before the potato Kogel, you're like, you know, you're not Pikaris. But the guy didn't have schnapps, you know, before this, so he had after. So what's the matter with you? Don't you know that in Skver we have the schnapps like this? Don't you know that in Lubavitch we have like that? Don't you know that in Bells they do like this? Don't you know? And by the Sephardim, this one's a Moroccan, this one's a Tamani, this one's a Syrian, and they have this one, have this one, and this one, and the Minhagim is so chashuv, and they want to be identified by their Inyan. This is my Inyan. Minhagim are unbelievable, because Minhagim, that's like our trademark. That's my trademark. That's who I am. Because I'm not you. I'm myself. I belong to this tzibur. I belong to my own tzibur. I belong to something. I'm here with you. I love you. You're a Jew, but I have my own inyan. So it's a similar thing to all these different inyan that people do to be themselves. So you're going to yell at the kid. The kid says no. The children are saying no because they want to be independent, and that's where and then when they get to be teenagers, they start to come up with all kinds of crazy ideas like what. And you don't know, for a parent, it's very hard. You say, what do you want to do with your life? I want to be in Grand Central Station playing the guitar and people throw me pennies or something like that. And you say, I don't think it's a good idea for a profession. And you have these arguments. The children are going keneged, mamish keneged, keneged. That's why you have so many, one of the reasons why you see that so many non-religious parents and the kids dafka want to be religious. And you have the religious parents, the kids the dafka. The parents are so frum, the kids are, I don't know. And the parents are not from, and the kid does everything. You have these parents that the last thing in the world is that they would want to see from their kid is they should put on payas. And this kid comes with payas. Then the other one, all they want is the kid should grow payas, and they're gone. Because the kid just wants to say, I'm not you. Leave me alone. I want to be myself. And that's why you have to know to be patient. To give the child time to grow up. And what Rav Kook is saying is the same thing with the people. Ein litzdar l'siyayish klal. For those parents who are misyayish, they said that you see your kid doesn't want to go to shul or something, or your kid doesn't want to learn. Ein litzdar l'siyayish klal mizim ha'ruach ha'lumi ha'tivya ha'arlech v'soin. All the turbulence and the craziness of growing up. Gama kilkulam shul makalkel b'mahalocha. All these kilkulam, all the mess. So from, it's a sign that the child is a healthy child and wants to, and that the nation is a healthy nation, that the people are healthy and they're looking, they have to find themselves. It's the olive base of adolescence. both by the individual and by a people. Yisparetz hakoach hapnimi kahar protzim. Rav Kook says you're going to see that the inner strength, the true inner strength, is going to explode. Yisparetz, like we're going to say lechadodi, but ayad yish ben paretzi. Yisparetz hakoach hapnimi. That inner strength, the true identity, will explode. Will come like a bomb, exploding out. Yisparetz hakoach hapnimi. Kahar protzim. He's borrowing from a pasuk, and when Rav Kook writes, just his sentences are filled with words from psukim and parts of psukim. So this is from a pasuk in Yeshaya, in the 28th parak of Yeshaya. It says, "Ki kahar protzim yokim Hashem." That right now Hashem is hidden, but kahar protzim, har protzim. There's actually a place in the world that's in Shmuel Beis that the Navi talks about. Over there was a melchama with David had with the Plishtim, by Har Protzim. Lefrotz means to break through. So that mountain, there's a place there where David Mach was fighting with the Plishtim and he beat the Plishtim, it's called Har Protzim. So Rav Kook is just borrowing that. And then the Novi says, Ka Protzim Yokim Hashem, that Hashem is going to be revealed like Har Protzim, like a mountain bursting out. But there was actually a place in Eretz Yisrael called Har Protzim. I don't know if they know where it is now, but it was a place where there was a war in Shmuel Beis. Yisparetz hakoach hapnimi kahar protzim. Because what Rav Kook is saying is that the essence is chayiv to come out. And because it's held in for so long, it's going to explode. But the essence is chayiv to emerge. Don't get all nervous about the child and the nation. Ein litzta'ar l'siyayish. Not to be mitzta'ar to misyayish. You see all the insanity on the outside, craziness. Not to mitzvah. That doesn't mean to ignore and not to try to work with, but don't be mitzvah, don't be misyayish. In the end, the essence has to come out. In the end, it's going to for sure come out. And not just because it's going to be very strong. Very, very strong, because it was held back for so long. That's how Rav Kook explains in the Haggadah, why we begin with the invitation of Halach Ma'anya, Kol Dichvin, Kol Ditzrich. It's a funny beginning to the Haggadah, no? Especially because everybody that you have for the Seder is already there. Who are you talking to? Or if it's a Korban Pesach, everybody's already, has to be ready from the Minuyim who were already appointed for the Korban, right? Who were invited for the Korban Pesach. So all the Mefarshim are asking that when you're standing there by the Seder and you say Halach Ma'anya, who are you talking to? The Olam is already, your people are already there to say that. What does it mean, the invitation? So if Kook says in the Haggadah that, in the Siddur, in the section of the Siddur of the Haggadah, he says that for so long, he says, when you're a slave, one of the worst things about a slave is that you don't have anything of your own. So you're a kind, loving, and generous person, but you can't do for anybody or give to anyone, because what? Because you're a schnorr, you have to get from your master every... You don't have anything to give to anyone. So Rav Kook explains that after all the years of being enslaved to the Mitzrayim, and to Golis, and to the other side, on the night when we're free, he said, we're not talking to anybody in particular, we're just screaming out, Kol Dichvin, I want to invite the whole world to my Seder. Because until now I couldn't, because I was a slave. Until now I couldn't allow those natural feelings of generosity that were within me had to be held back, because I wasn't able to do that. And now, he says, it's not like it's something that's thought out. It's like a spontaneous scream. Kol Dichvin, Kol Ditzvich. There's no one, who are you talking? There's no one, everybody's there. It's because I couldn't say these words for so long. I couldn't say the words, please come, I'd like to have you as my guest. I couldn't say these words. So the kindness, since a Jew, Rav Kook says, Be'etzim is overflowing with kindness. Because a Jew is a child of Avraham Avinu, and he's overflowing with love and with kindness. And when you're a slave, you're stuck and you're shut and you're closed and you can't do anything for anybody. So finally, when you're free, you just want to scream out, Kol Dichvin, Kol Ditzvich. That's the real pshat. That's Mamish the Oymek HaPshat, what Rav Kook is saying. Kol Dichvin, Kol Ditzvich. Because when something good is held back for a long time, and it's the, and it's the, it's not only that it's something good, but it's your nature. It's the nature of who you are. It comes out. And when it's held back for a long time, it's like a spring that you hold that back, and you're pulling it back, or like a sling or a spring. When you hold it back, or a bow and arrow, you hold it back, poof, and you let go. So when you're free, it goes crazy. So that's what you're saying. That's why Mashiach is called Al-Yad Ish Ben Paritzi. Ha-Protzos, Ben Paritzi, Yisparetz, Hakoch, Peretz, right? The great-great-grandfather, Yehuda had Zerach and Peretz. With Tomer, Peretz is Mashiach, as David comes from Peretz. Peretz is to explode, to break through, Ben Paritzi. That's what's going to happen by the Zechir, when the time comes, that it's going to be in a second, like an explosion. Because the essence has to come out. And because it's held back for so long, it comes out. You're going to see everything is still like the winter. It looks like the winter because it's still a little bit chilly. 2 weeks from now, 10 days from now, there's all going to be flowers and green. Mitzvah Hashem. Everything's going to be flowers. It's going to all be beautiful. It's not going to be anymore. A person who doesn't know how trees and how the world works will look at this and say, it's fafalm. This tree is fafalm. And you're messiahish from the tree. And Hashem says, Pesach comes in the Aviv, Shamor is Chodesh Aviv. In a split second, all the natural kaiches of the tree are going to be, paritzim are going to explode. And it's going to be all green and beautiful colors and the most beautiful thing. We have, you know, there are these little purple things that they're the first ones that grow.
Crocus.
What are they called?
Crocus.
Crocus? Yeah, that's my wife called it also. So I asked her the same question. What's it called? Crocus?
Crocus, yeah.
So they come out, these little purple things. So last week they were these little purple things. So my wife, since all the years when the children were little, my wife always sends the children out to bring those in. And I always talk to the children about how it's gewaldig, these flowers are gewaldige flowers. Such koiches they have that all their friends are still afraid to come out. And the rest of the olam is still held back. And these are the first ones to come out when it's still cold and to look around and say, Hineni, I'm here. I'm ready. It's a chashuv thing. These flowers are very chashuv. So we had them last week. We had them by the Shabbos table. A few these little purple flowers. How do you say it? Crocuses.
Crocuses.
A funny word. Right?
Say it. Somebody
croaks. Yeah. So they there's a certain cover that you have to give such a flower. That all the other flowers saying that. No, you got to wait till it's perfect. We got to wait till everything outside is just right. We got to wait till it's nice and warm and everything is good. And these flowers say, I'm a speaker already. I had enough of the winter. So I'm tired of the winter. I'm tired of being stuck in the dark. I want to get out of here. And they go. These flowers are the first ones to go. And they're so weak and tiny and little. It's amazing. They came out first, not some kind of a big hush of a thing. They come out, these little ones. They come out like this, around the grass. Before there's any grass, they come out, these little purple things. No. So in the end, there's going to be Yisparet HaKoach HaPnimi KaHaProtzim. Koach HaPnimi will come out. V'chaim HaYisraelim. Chaim HaYisraelim. And true Jewish life. Mitoch Hechrech Pnimi. It will come out. Mitoch Hechrech Pnimi. What does it mean, Hechrech Pnimi? A feeling like I have to do this. Not because someone's telling me. I myself feel I must be this way. I must put on tefillin. I must keep Shabbos. I must be good. Hechrech pnimi. Not someone telling you do this, do that. Pnimi. Hechrech pnimi. I can't live without Shabbos. I can't live without davening. Not you have to daven. I can't live without davening. Hechrech pnimi. And with a penetrating understanding. Everything will be done according to the true character of the Jewish people. Everything will get done according to our true character, who we really are. And that true character, that natural, true essence, that will bring to the great tshuva, the great return to Hashem. It's a tshuva me'ahava, tshuva out of love, not fear. Tshuva because it's natural. Tshuva me'ahava means this is who I am. when you feel that it's you, then you love to do it. Not that you're afraid or you have to. You love to. It's mehava. Loy shum nefila chamranis. But that any nefilas into things that are not good. Without anything that's bad, without any ulterior motives. Tshuva, with tshuva meyira, when a person does tshuva because they're afraid, they're worried about themselves. It's not because of Hashem. They're worried about themselves. It's meyira. They're afraid for themselves. Tshuva mehava means this is who I am. This is who I am. This is what I want to do. Kim tshuva pnimis. It's a tshuva pnimis. A deep inner tshuva. Hanavas mi oimek ha'emes shebaor ha'chayim shel ha'neshama, that comes out from the oimek ha'emes, the depths of the truth that is baor ha'chayim, the light of life shel ha'neshama, of the soul itself. The soul itself comes out from that place. Okay, so we don't have time to. If you could hold on to this, and after Yontif, we're not going to have next week. So we'll go after Yontif. We'll do a little bit. We'll go over that last paragraph, and we'll do a little bit. It's important to do a little bit extra from some places in Rav Kook and from his Talmidim. So Hashem will continue after Pesach. We should all be zochim et Hashem for the gula Hashem v'amidus amen.
Spent focus. You need to apply with